Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that didn't go exactly the way we thought it would, huh?
And it gets even worse, Chris Russell, because...
Because you're Chris Russell?
Well, I couldn't find the smelling salts to get us going.
Oh!
Here we are.
Oh, we need smelling salts. We need smelling salts. We need food. We need alcohol. We need...
Everything under the sun.
Any kind of artificial infusion that we possibly can, because right now... And trust me when I say this, from... The football part of it for moi, for your beloved host, is the least part of this. But for many of you on this Friday, September the 12th, 2025, the football portion of this is a horror show. And welcome to Friday the 12th, one day shy, I guess, of Friday the 13th. And it feels... like the Commanders ran into a couple of ghosts of Christmas past last night.
Felt like they ran into a brick wall.
That too. It feels like if I ran into a brick wall after the show,
mm-hmm.
or during the show,
mm-hmm.
or in a commercial break of the show, then
glass all around.
I might feel better. I just popped 4 ibuprofen.
Oh, you are going through it.
I mean, I can't even begin to tell you what's going on in my life. That is just. It is the nonstop continuation of an absolute horror show, a carnival of epic proportions. Somebody's out to get me. Okay, so football for me is the least part of the pie, but it's also the most frustrating part of the pie because it's what I do. It's what we do. It's what we're consumed by. And when you get a performance like last night, you wonder, wait a second. Did they really care? You wonder to yourself, not only did they really care, but were they truly prepared?
I think that's the bigger question because the care, like Dan Quinn kind of spoke about it after the game. I'm trying to find the quote. I think Nikki asked him if you feel like that the guys quit at all. There it is. It's right in front of me. So here, let's.
What is he going to say to this?
I wonder.
Did you feel like they gave up?
Never. Never. I'm talking about just our. Attitude and play style and where we want to finish plays and the tackling, creating turnovers, finishing drives. So, yeah, by no means, like, these guys are as tough as you get. I saw guys just absolutely battling through it and not wanting to tap in any space and guys coming back. And so it was costly for us. And we'll regroup, like I said, Monday. But the fight, I don't question. When I'm talking about the finish, I just want to see the more downfield plays. All right,
that's all great. That's all great that Dan Quinn feels they never quit, never roll. I'm not saying they actually quit. But were they prepared for what they were going to deal with last night? I mean, it's hard to say that they were prepared well if they were prepared. But that is more than just the coaches. Let me repeat, more than just the coaches. Many of you are going to sit here ready, set, fire at the coaching staff. Let me tell you something. The coaching staff deserves plenty of the blame for last night, but so do the players. And on the reverse of that, the Green Bay Packers deserve a lot of credit. We will get there in just a little bit. The bottom line is this. I can't shake the feeling. I am trying. I've been throughout last night's game on the drive home from Grant Paulson's house last night, where we did... this Barstool-esque, which I know you'll appreciate, Mad Max, this Barstool-esque live video stream during the game of us eating and yelling and watching football. I haven't been able to shake in my mind, and I'm just being as honest as I can. I'm not telling you I know. I'm just being as honest and revealing as I can. I have not been able to shake what has been my concern, what has been my worry, what has been my, what has been tugging at me, what has been nipping at my nose for weeks. For weeks. And that is that this team was going to have a sloppy start to the season because they went all club DQ. And listen, that's a great thing when it works. It's a great thing when you don't get injured. It's a great thing if you can dispute that working extra, extra, extra hard in training camp and in the offseason is not important. It's a great thing when you can prove that that doesn't win and lose you games. It's a really bad thing. A really bad thing. When you look as poor as they did last night, with limited exception on special teams, and it certainly wasn't all special teams as we know. When you look as poor as they did last night, in almost every phase of professional football, and when you look as sloppy as they did last Sunday against a meager opponent, it is hard. It is almost impossible to shake the feeling that you have, that I have been open with, that I have been honest with, that I have said on these airwaves, so I'm not just coming out and saying it today, that I thought training camp was kind of soft. If not very soft. If you don't believe me, believe others that were there every day. I wasn't there every single day. I had to go away to Vegas for a couple of practices. I missed one other practice because that was open to the media, fully open, because they moved it to the afternoon, the day that they were going to practice against the Ravens. But other than that, I watched every other practice. And every day I walked away with two impressions. One, that seemed pretty light. That seemed pretty soft. And they kept saying, no, you don't understand. No, we practice at such a high tempo. We get a lot done. Okay, I'll trust you. I'll believe you. Let's see when the proof is in the pudding. And I also walked away almost every day, and I said this last night on this video podcast thingy, maybe some of you were with me and with us. I said this in the fourth quarter, and I meant it. I never walked away one time, one day, throughout training camp, going, yeah, this offense is ready to go. Never. Now, am I going to say that it was horrendous? Nope. Am I going to say it was bad? Nope. Am I going to say it was an embarrassment or a joke? Nope. But I am going to tell you the truth. I pay attention. I watch. I don't see everything. Others might dispute. I never walked away one day going, yeah, the offense is humming. And I think you guys heard that. From everyone, the secondary was kicking ass. The defensive line was largely kicking ass. The defense was winning the days. Turnovers, even against Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels had some bad practices. Some bad practices. Not every practice, but some bad practices. I have not been able to shake the feeling for weeks, that it was not just Terry McLaurin and his absence, that it was not just Noah Brown and his countless amount of injuries, but that it was about playing football Club DQ style, and I love Dan Quinn. I advocated for him. None of you wanted him. I did. I advocated. All right, Mad Max was with me too.
Thank you.
I wanted Dan Quinn. And now I have to say, hey, man, I've been worried about this. I've mentioned it. I haven't hammered it because I didn't have the proof. But now through two games.
Got it now, buddy.
I still don't have the actual proof in my hands, but you know where it is, Mad Max? You know where it is, people?
It's on the tape.
Of Radio Land?
It's on the tape.
Well, it's not only on the tape, but it's in the pudding.
Ooh.
The proof is in the pudding. This offense wasn't good throughout the offseason. It wasn't good enough, sharp enough last Sunday. It was horrific last night. This team as a whole did not grind, did not push, did not fight. And there were lots of reasons for it. Hey, veterans, oldest team in the league. Rest, recovery, not wanting to burn through a wall. The one I came up with, the one that they don't really talk about. Hey, man, you played 20 games last year. 23 if you include the preseason. I got some of it. I did. Some of it. But when Laremy Tunsil is veteran rest day on day two of training camp, day two, and day four, I'm sorry, that sends alarm bells off in my eyes and in my ears. Maybe more my ears than my eyes, but you get the point. And that's just one example. Zach Ertz, Laremy Tunsil, obviously McLaurin was gone. Noah Brown was injured literally the second that they could get him on the field. He was injured just like he was injured again last night. Literally the second they could get him on the field after he dropped one. That was probably and arguably the nicest play of the night until, well, he dropped it on the sidelines. Here's the bottom line. I didn't want to do this today, but I was thinking on the way in. By the way, traffic was great. Whoever was driving a couple of these cars today on the way in seemed to be like calling all of the commanders' decisions last night, whether they be offense, defense, special teams, clock management, game plan preparation, training camp coordination. I didn't want to do this. I was going to save this for next week. I was just going to review the game today. But the game and the performance and the execution and the plan and the unorganization, and this might not be fair, but it is what it is. It was so bad. It was so bad that I almost want to walk in here and go, you know what? You remember when Chris Cooley on this station used to say to Kevin all the time, Robert Griffin was so bad that you couldn't evaluate anyone else? Because Robert Griffin was so bad. He would say that regularly. That's almost how I feel about last night. Their performance outside of a couple of limited shining plays on special teams was so bad. From top to bottom, soup to nuts, A to Z, and everything in between. It's almost to the point of where you can't evaluate it because it was so bad in every way. And yes, I understand. They were only down 17-10 in the fourth quarter. And all of us were looking at each other, whether you were with me and Grant, Toby, and Danny, and Darius, and Ryan Clary over on the all on the 106.7 side. I was their special invited guest. Or whether you were Mad Max, or whether you were Cowboy B rooting for the dysfunction of the Commanders, or whoever you were, you could not help but think, hey, man, they're only down 14-3. They're only down 17-10. Wow. At some point, they're going to figure this out. At some point, they are going to get on a heater. The problem was is that heater kind of came on that Zach Ertz touchdown drive. And little move, great move. That was about the only heat, you know, on the velocity map. That was about the only red spot that they generated all night. That was it. That was their last whimper. That was their last cry to end it all. That was their last whine. That was their last whimper. Sign of life. Their last whimper. Before it was stomped out of them again. And before you knew it, Tucker Kraft was Tony freaking Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp, Ozzie Newsome, and Mike Ditka all rolled into one. Ditka. The tape was almost as bad. Almost as bad as what Cooley on this station used to call Robert Griffin tape. In terms of the impossibility of evaluating fairly what everyone else did or didn't do. That's how bad it was. You don't have to like that. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to, you can think I'm a hater all you want. That's fine. You have a right to do that. I'm going to argue with you. I'm going to defend myself. You probably haven't put as much time in as I have. That's okay. That's not your job. It is mine. My job is to tell you how it is. Yes, they are 1-1. Yes, they lost to what I think is the best team in the NFC. Hell, what I think is the best team in the NFL. I picked them to win the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, I guess. I picked them to beat the Commanders in the NFC Championship game. I picked them to beat the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. All of that can be said, and all of that is fair. And a 27-18 loss is literally a 9-point loss. It may as well have been 9,000 points with the disparity between what we all saw last night. It may as well have been, because that's the way it felt. That's the way it looked. That's the way it appeared. Just like it appeared to me that they didn't work hard enough in camp. Just like it appeared to me, and maybe others, that the offense was way more than just Terry McLaurin related. That was a big part, but not the only part. Appearances sometimes can be deceiving. Perceptions can sometimes not be reality, but oftentimes they are. And in this case, through two games, even though they're 1-1 and not 0-2, which would have been worse, even though they're only 1-1 and they have a chance to regroup here, granted with some serious injuries, which we'll get to, every fear that I had about this team, a lot of the fears that I had about this team have reared its ugly head already. And we're 2 weeks in. They've literally started the season 6 days ago. That's the positive. That's the good sign. 6 days ago, they started the season. There's 15 more left. How are they going to go? I don't know. We'll find out starting next Sunday against the Raiders. But in between now and then, we have a lot of self-examination. We have a lot of looking in the mirror. We have a lot of scratching your head and wondering how one can be that bad at their given profession when they supposedly care so much and when their fight is so noticeable and when their effort is not to be questioned. And their plan is not to be scrutinized. You wonder how bad somebody can be with the amount of support that they have. Because you know what? That football team ain't this radio show, I tell you that much. They have all the support in the world. They have the Taj Mahal of support. There is no rhyme or reason why they should be as bad as they were last night. And yes, it's only a loss. And yes, it's to a team that many feel are better. On the road, on a short week, we can come up with all the excuses. But if you're not seeing what I'm seeing, if you're not feeling what I'm feeling, and I think what Max is feeling, and I think what Coach Sheehan is feeling, and I think what a lot of the callers and listeners to the station are feeling, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Because it was as bad of a performance as you're going to get for a game that wound up a 9-point loss. For a game that was a one-score game. A one-score game. A minute and 20 seconds into the fourth quarter. It was as bad of a loss as you're ever going to find under those circumstances. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. I'm not going to yell and scream and rant and rave. I'm going to talk as calmly as I can. I'm going to talk as efficiently as I can. I'm going to talk bluntly, and I'm going to tell you what I feel and what I'm thinking and what I see and what I know. And I'm telling you they're going to disagree with it, and maybe some of you are going to disagree with it. You're welcome. You're welcome to join the fray. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Come and have your say.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Normally, this is a feel-good football Friday. Can we do that? I don't know if we can. There's nothing to feel good about from last night, and we just got more bad news. I missed this right before the show. Dietrich Wise, according to Adam Schefter, has been ruled out for the season with a season-ending quad injury. I mean, that was pretty much what I was expecting last night when he had to be carted off and you saw the ultimate concern. So we haven't heard on Austin Ekeler yet, but they believe it to be a torn Achilles, which pretty much is a season ender. Not an absolute definitive season ender. I remember Cam Akers, then of the Los Angeles Rams, then in his, I believe, rookie year, maybe it was his second year, tearing his Achilles like in training camp, early in camp, and then making it back for the last part of the regular season. Obviously, this was in week two, so, I mean, you would have to presume if there's any shot that Austin Ekeler could come back, assuming that it's torn, which they feel. It would have to be like conference championship Super Bowl, and that's probably very unrealistic. Here's the thing that's crazy about last night. Not only did they lose those two guys probably for the season, and in Wise's case, reportedly for the season, and again, they believe that Austin Ekeler's Achilles is torn, and it looked like it live, as we were all watching in horror. They might be without John Bates for a couple of weeks. They might be without the oft-injured, non-stop-injured Noah Brown. Just because they have 9 days in between games doesn't mean everything's going to be right with the guys that aren't ruled out for the season. And then Jaden got hurt late in the game. And while he said, and he stayed in, and while he said he's fine, he's good. And there's no doubt he's tough. We saw the limitations that a cracked rib put on him last year. We saw it. So why would we have any any total and complete faith that he's not going to be limited at the very minimum in practice and in games against the Vegas Raiders and Pete Carroll. And then the Atlanta Falcons and Raheem Morris. Two defensive-minded head coaches. Max Crosby coming to town. The rebuilt Falcons pass rush. Why would we feel anything but that? And here's another thing. The Green Bay Packers whacked the Washington Commanders last night without arguably their best receiver. Hell, without arguably their two best receivers. Christian Watson, we already knew, was gone. Torn ACL recovery. They lost Jaden Reed early in that game, right along the goal line, on a pass towards the boundary, and ultimately out when he landed on his shoulder, and he fractured his collarbone, and he looked in a lot of pain. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. He basically didn't play last night. And Watson did not. And yet the Commanders still got absolutely throttled. And yet somehow only lost by 9 and were down only 7 with 13 and change left to go. Weird. Hard to explain. But if you watch the game, you know. You know how bad it was. All right, let's get a quick call in here before the bottom of the hour break, and then we will reconvene on the other side. Let's go to Max. If you could help me here. Sorry, the phone computer system is still not operating properly, but why would it? Line 3, Phil and Bowie in the leadoff spot. Phil? How are you, Phil?
All right, how you doing, Chris?
Well, I've been better, Phil. I've been better. Hope you are better as well.
Yeah, I am now. Yeah, it was a frustrating game to watch. I was talking to Max earlier. I didn't know John Bates got hurt. I can tell. I was just frustrated watching the game all night. I don't know why they didn't bring more blockers. They were only blocking the line with 5 defensive linemen, no adjustments. Just a frustrating game to watch last night.
Yeah. Again, part of that is losing Bates, what, midway through the second quarter? Maybe it was early second quarter? I can't even remember now, right? So you lose that, but where's Ben Sinnott? I mean, I had to watch Jeremy McNichols literally by Micah Parsons get Micah Parsons' hands into his chest plate and bounced up in the air like a pogo stick. Where is Ben Sinnott? Where is Colson Yankoff? Where are all these guys?
No double teams on Michael Parsons or anything. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then Lattimore, the technique is terrible. He's traveling with the receivers. He's traveling 10 yards off of them. They did it so often. It took them almost the whole game to make the adjustment to switch off on the receiver. It was bad coaching, bad playing.
Let me ask you this, Phil. Were you as confused as I when he did not travel and trail Malik Nabers last week, and then you saw him do just exactly the opposite a lot of last night. Traveled and trailed all over the field against a team that doesn't have a dominant receiver and lost its best receiver 2 minutes into the game and was missing its other best receiver. I was like, wait a second, what? Huh? Now, if you want to make the argument that Russell Wilson stinks and the Giants' offensive line stinks, so they got away with it, okay, I guess that's the explanation. But last night, obviously, they couldn't do the same thing, so maybe they felt they had to do something else. But the logic and the common sense doesn't make any sense. Does that make sense or no? With Lattimore?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The coaches just traveling the way, and the Green Bay Packers picked up on it early that this play is going to work. They did it constantly and kept getting positive results from it. So it takes the coaches 3 quarters or however long it takes or for the players to realize, oh, maybe we should stop doing this. Maybe we should switch. Maybe we should adjust. Even on offense, maybe we should double-team Michael Parsons. Maybe triple-team him. do something. He completely destroyed the game. That defense is – we need to give Green Bay credit, too. Like you said, that might be the Super Bowl winner this year. They look like the best team in the NFL right now.
No doubt. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it. Good call to get us started here. Appreciate you very much. Excellent call. All right, let's do a quick trending alert, and then right back to your calls, and we'll go through the calls as quickly as we can, and I will limit my comments as much as I can. I'm trying to maintain a certain level of calm, but it's hard. It's hard when you see what you saw last night, because that if that's the way this season is going to go in primetime games against elite competition, that's really bad. Trending alert right here, right now.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Enthralling conversation, Rooster?
Yeah. So I feel like I'm on the highway to hell every day of my life. This is such a great tune. I feel like I'm on the highway to hell and on the express ramp to hell every time that I get put under the microscope around here because
yeah.
For whatever reason...
Well, the boys across the hall like to do that to you.
Yeah, my work colleagues are wonderful people. But they love to bust my onions.
Yeah.
To no end. So during the break, I went over to say hello and stretch my legs to Landfill, White Brian, and Jeff Too Funny. Or not Too Funny. And B. Mitch and JP are somehow back from Green Bay.
They have access to the teleporter. Exactly. I'm convinced.
Well, yeah, they have their own private jet, so that's probably how. And they start busting my chops about the video podcast thingy that we did last night. And apparently at one point in the third quarter, I said, are we on? Like, because they shut it off at halftime.
Sure.
And then a bunch of the guys were buried in their phone and buried in their computer. Like, Grant is buried in his computer.
Yeah.
Danny was miserable, angry,
yeah,
hostile,
me too.
Just miserable.
Yeah.
And Darius and Ryan Clary were buried in their phones. And Toby had to leave to come back here to the station to do the postgame show with Doc.
All this
so
tracks.
I thought we were on a different apparatus. And I was like, oh, wait a second. We're on camera? I didn't realize we were still on camera. And then I think in the fourth quarter, I actually, or maybe it was the late third quarter, I was so frustrated at that point, I actually did curse.
Oh, no.
And we weren't supposed to, ultimately.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I did curse.
Oh, well.
When we were talking about how screwed up, I guess for lack of a better term.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
The NFL and NFLPA is when it comes to Thursday night football games. And it's I can't remember if I said that right after Austin Eckler got hurt or right before. I think it was before, actually, because Eckler
was... Rooster Dominic strikes again.
Eckler was part of the NFLPA,
yeah,
you know, mission and whatever, and I think the NFLPA and NFL are both in cahoots to just make as much money as they can, and they don't care one bit about player safety.
Pablo Torre taught us that.
Exactly. So that, anyway, that's all that. All right, back to the phones we go because we got a lot of people that want to weigh in. Let's get to Athan in Annapolis on line one, Mad Max.
What's up, pal?
Double A, how are you?
Well, you know, I just didn't expect – I didn't expect a win, but I didn't expect that either, to have 140 yards of offense before garbage time. But it also goes back to what Tom Brady said in the broadcast last week, is that football is a practice sport. It's not like the NBA. It's not like the NHL where you get all, you know, 80 games and 160-plus in baseball. You have to practice and practice hard. It goes back to your point, Chris, about the powder puff training camp that Dan Quinn runs and all these days off and, you know, foot massages and back rubs that they get or whatever it is. The Packers had the same amount of time to prepare as we did. And while they are more athletic and younger, it was like men against boys out there last night. The way their defensive line dominated our offensive line, the way they blanketed our receivers, it's almost like they had our playbook. It's inexcusable. And Marshmello Lattimore to go with Kinlaw and Payne and Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton played 16 snaps. That's a second round pick that's getting 16 snaps. And goes back to the last preseason game, how much he played in that preseason games. He must not be flashing what they thought he was. And then you throw in Ben Sinnott, who should have been able to step right in for John Bates.
Mm-hmm.
It's very disappointing. It's very disappointing, but the season's not over.
No.
It's only one loss. It doesn't count as 10 losses. But they have a lot of self-reflection to do after this game, because guess what? Guys like Luke McCaffrey, guys like Ben Sinnott, guys maybe that they have to pick up off the street or whatever, because you know Dietrich Wise is the only person who could secure the edge. It's time to separate the men from the boys, put your big boy pants on. Last year's over. No more layups, no more powder puff quarterbacks to play against. It's real now. Better get ready for the Raiders, because that was bad last night. That was embarrassing. That was Ron Rivera-esque.
In some ways, that was worse than Ron Rivera-esque, which
very much
should tell you how bad it was, and yet somehow they still only lost by 9 and were within 7 with 13 and change left to go. Thank you, Double A. Appreciate you as always. Well said. I like the Marshmallow Lattimore. He texted me that last night. I didn't see it until late. Marshmallow Lattimore. Oh, that's pretty mean, but it's kind of funny. I got to admit, it's kind of funny. 301-230-0980. Let's go. Let me see here. Line 2, Mike is in Gaithersburg. I think Mike's, I don't know. Oh, we got so many callers. Mike, go right ahead. How are you?
Fine. How you doing there, Chris?
Good, Mike. What's going on?
Good. I want to touch on a couple things. First of all, in terms of being prepared for this, for today's game or last night's game, yeah, I think that the first team should have had more opportunity to play on their either the last exhibition game.
Mm-hmm.
Probably either the last quarter or the last half. That, of course, compounded by Scary Terry's holding in, didn't help either. But what I want to touch on, no one's mentioned it at this time, and that is regarding turnovers. Have we committed any turnovers so far? And have we also forced any turnovers? I haven't heard anything about that.
Haven't forced any. I know that. I'm trying to think real quickly. I don't believe they've committed any either. Let me double check that. Let me double check that in the next break. But I don't believe they have either. Or since, I mean, they forced a turnover on downs, but that doesn't count as a takeaway or giveaway. I don't believe they have. I know they have not on defense. I don't believe they have on offense either. But they've hurt themselves in so many other ways on offense. I mean, last week it was the penalties, the drops, you know, Jaden being a little bit behind, what have you. Last night it was, if you told me going into this game, we talked about this game, granted a short week, all week, right? If you told me that Austin Eckler and Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, would have 12 combined carries, I would have told you you're insane. I would have told you you had no chance to win. And guess what? They had no chance to win. Even though they had a chance to win.
I felt the same way, but I felt that way last week before the game, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, they got Micah Parsons, and they're good anyway. Now they're even better. I don't feel good about this. This could be a blowout.
Understood. Understood. And you were right. I did not think they were going to lose in a blowout. I had them losing a field goal game, and I was wrong. And yet, again, still the final deficit only. It's the most misleading game that you're probably ever going to see, because they had no business being in that game and having a chance, and yet they actually did. Mike, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Good call. Have a good weekend. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to line 6, TC in Clinton, next up on the team. 980 TC, how are you?
How you doing? How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing better than the Commanders' performance last night. I tell you that much. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Good. Doing well. Actually, Chris, I actually expected the Commanders to actually perform a dud right now. I really did.
You mean last night you went in expecting a dud?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
Gotcha.
I really did.
Okay.
Why was that?
Because of how sloppy they were in week one, or?
Not just that, how sloppy it was in week one. Everybody was jumping on the bandwagon thinking about the defense He's playing the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. The New York Giants stink. They're pure trash. It's just that simple. I mean, you're not wrong. But people try to pump up people, and they want to make it look good, and they want to go. Washington, I love my team. But the issue is we are not really, really quite that talented yet. And we tend to, our fans in the DMV, we tend to just, you know, just take off and drink the Kool-Aid and explode. But we're really not that talented compared to some of the upper echelon teams in the league. Green Bay is extremely talented on both sides of the ball when you look at it. So going into that game, I kept on saying, we had like people like Paulie calling in the other day, come on, we was going to blow them out. And I'm like listening to all these callers the day before, talking about we're going to blow them out, blow them out. I'm like, what are these people on? Are they on crack?
Did Paulie really say they were going to blow them out?
Yes, he did.
I didn't remember that.
He said we was going to blow them out. And I was like, what's going on, Paulie? What's going on here? People, you jumped on a bandwagon. Now you pissed off. Guess what, people? Calm down. We're fine. We lost to Green Bay. We were supposed to lose to Green Bay. At the end of these four games, we will be 3-1. We're going to be okay. We're moving in the direction we need to go. But we weren't going to be Green Bay. We weren't. We're not there yet. We're going to have to make adjustments. We're going to have to move. They're going to have to do more than try to get Jaden to put the running game around Jaden. That's a problem. People ain't realizing that. The running game is built around Jaden. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to stop doing that.
Well, the running game is built around Jaden, but even last night, the Packers had the kryptonite to his Superman. So when it's built around Jaden, if indeed that is true, and I mean it's hard to argue with that, right? Well, they better find another way to get something out of that run game. But here's what I know. Here's what I know, TC. They gave up on that running game almost as immediately as they took the field because there's no chance in a one-score game largely throughout. And I understand it wasn't always a one-score game, but it was a one-score game for a good portion of the game. And there were times where it was an 11-point game or a 14-point game, but it was never out of reach by any stretch. And they had a religious aversion to running the football last night.
But you know what? You know why the score was like that. Flip it blue. When we played the Giants, guess what? The Giants at no time was out of it until finally we scored.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the game actually was over with. Green Bay was actually over with. They just didn't ever put it away.
No, that's fair.
On a couple
that's
of
fair.
Bombs that was wide open that should
fair.
Have been over with and would have been blown out in the first half.
That's
but
fair.
That didn't happen, just like we should have blown the Giants out in the first half. It didn't actually happen like that. So the game is kind of deceiving when you say, oh, we were still in it. No, we weren't in it because we were getting beat up on both sides of the ball.
I'm with you.
On offensive line and
I'm with you.
Line.
I totally get what you're saying. And it's a great point, but the reality is they were only down 7 with 13 minutes left to go.
I got to run.
I'm up against the clock. I appreciate you. It's a great call. Thank you. Have a good weekend, TC. More of your calls coming up. We see y'all. Just be patient. We're going to get as many calls in as we can. Obviously, a lot of people want to chit-chat and are angry about a 27-18 loss to the Packers. Back in a flash on the Team 980 on your radio, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us. All right, just a couple of minutes before 2 o'clock here. End of hour number one approaching. One more call, and then we'll make the turn for 2 o'clock, and then right back into your calls. We have Merrill Hodge in the 3 o'clock hour, former NFL running back, of course, longtime ESPN analyst. Merrill Hodge will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Spoke to him this morning. So looking forward to airing that conversation again. That'll be later in the 3 o'clock hour. Back to you. Philip is in Annandale on line 4 on the Team 980. Phil, thanks for hanging in. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I thought it was interesting listening to you at the beginning talk about how the practices were. And I didn't know that, obviously. But the Packers played the passing game the way I thought, because I knew that Jordan Love was going to launch the ball all over the place, and that was my fear, because he throws 20 and 30 yard passes. He doesn't dink and doink,
mm-hmm.
and that's what the Packers do. I was stunned at we looked like butterflies on a water buffalo. It was pathetic. And I will say,
wait, back up. Butterflies on a water buffalo?
Yeah.
I've never heard that adage. That's a good one. All right.
That's what it made me feel like watching the game. And then, you know, they talk about Bill, you know, that guy, that mm-hmm. running back Bill, how yep. special he is, how wonderful. He's got the speed. They don't think anything of him. He touched the ball four times. Yeah. So I don't want to hear them talk about him anymore. And the fact that Kingsbury's offense, you know, you're not going to complain about what they did last year. You really can't. I get that. But this league is very good at catching up to you. And whatever his philosophy is, if his philosophy is it's all the quarterback doing everything, they're not going to go anywhere. You know, the people who can remember when John Elway played for the Broncos and he took the team to the Super Bowl almost by himself. It was a unique situation in sports that he was able to do it, and they lost it three times. And they had no business getting to the Super Bowl, but he was magical. But he couldn't win the Super Bowl unless they got a primetime offensive and defensive line where they were pushing people around and they had a 2,000-yard running back. You're not going to win the Super Bowl. You're probably not going to get to the Super Bowl if you don't have power and force. They have no power, no force. They got rid of Brian Robinson because they have no clue how to use him. Okay, but you don't have power and force. That's why I call them butterflies. You know, giving the ball to Daniels, and he's not built. He mm-hmm. got lucky last year. He's not built like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. He's very good, but he's not built to play that same exact game. So why aren't you running the ball? These guys can get you 4 yards a crack.
Very, very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Why can't
you're right.
Yeah, why can't you get 3rd-and-2? Yeah. Is that a problem?
No, it's a good question, and it's obviously something that we asked earlier. I don't know. 12 natural carries by the two running backs that played last night. I appreciate the phone call. I got to let you run, though. We're up against it. 2:00 on the way. 2 more hours to play on a Friday afternoon in the nation's capital. Stay with us on the Team 980 on your radio, Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.